Listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people from the University of British Columbia, or UBC. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. And hopefully one day it'll be subtitled for real. Though, like I've explained on my other shows, it seems like I'm always starting my show explaining how subtitling a radio show is almost impossible. Or very, very difficult and has very little interest for people. But who knows? Technology is advancing fast. And good morning, everybody. It's around 8 a.m. now. And before I go into the show, before I actually start, I'd just like to say that you can find all of my podcasts, all of my previous shows on CITR.ca, where you can find all of the any radio show you listen to. They're all on there. If you just search for whoever runs the show, the radio programmer, or you can search by just the show's name. So my show is really early. Like I said, 8 a.m., that might be pretty early for some people. So if you ever miss a show, you can always find me on CATR. Or if you're looking for some of my earlier shows, they're also on YouTube. They're on my YouTube channel, Gurneet Da. Or if that might be difficult for you to find, I also have a Facebook page for my show called, named after the show, Convictions and Contradictions, where you can get updates about me, about what I'm going to do next on my show, or highlighting some previous episodes, or I like to post illustrations that people have made for my show in the past, and also I have a bunch of merch that you can get if you call CITR. There are t-shirts mainly, where there is a modeled picture by Miles Black, the former music director here, modeling the shirt magnificently on the webpage. So if you're interested in getting in touch with me, again, you can also find my email and my Facebook page also on the CATR.ca. You can contact me or find my old episode. So those are the best ways to get in touch with me if you're looking to. I want to start the show talking a little bit about the last show. The last show was about travel stigma. And I recently met someone who has traveled a lot, a world traveler who's really into just traveling. They save up all their money just to go travel when they have the chance, and they have a interesting relationship with their family members to do that, to travel. And this person is teaching me a lot about traveling and experiences and things that they have learned on these trips of theirs. And I never thought I'd meet someone who had traveled so extensively, but then I did. Just by chance, I met this person who works with me where I work, and whenever They're also there. We always end up talking about where they have traveled, what they've seen, them showing me some photos of what they've seen, like the Great Wall of China and gardens and other kind of historical sites. Fun fact that I learned from this person is that the Great Wall of China, it was made out of brick, I believe, but the brick is put together not through cement, through like cooked rice or mushed up rice. It's the type of rice that was, you know, liquefied in some way so that, you know, it was sticky and so that the bricks would hold together. But the Great Wall of China, in part, is made out of food and has lasted for so many years. I love meeting people who are knowledgeable. Knowledge is power, and learning all of that. But at the same time, maybe some of you also feel this, is that when you meet someone who has all this knowledge, sometimes you feel bad about yourself, or you think lesser of yourself that you don't also have all that knowledge. You start to put yourself down. But you have to remember, like I always try to remind myself, I also know things that possibly many people don't know, or many people don't know at all. Like, I know about myself, you don't know about myself. Though, how valuable is that, really? I mean, a lot of some people are, in life, their quest is to know themselves, and who's to say? People have different quests in life, or different lots in life, or different goals in life. Whenever I come here to UBC, I usually take the bus or drive, but either way, I always come the same way. I come up onto Oak Street, and there's a part where you have to merge into the lane, and underneath that, where you merge into, it's a kind of a bridge turning into a road, and the merging lane coming up the side and coming up into there. It's around the Marpool Loop, and underneath the bridge there are, you know, some pillars holding up the bridge. And on one of the poles it used to say, well, it still does say, it says, "The meaning of life is love." But the way it was written before, it was, I think, in meaning, the G was an E, or there was, like, one letter that was an incorrect letter, but you could still read it. But someone painted over it, and then they rewrote it, "The meaning of life is love," and then love is in pink, and then the rest of it is in blue. And I'm just wondering who put it up there. Is it the same person who wrote it the first time? Is it a new person? It's a nice little thing to read when you come in every day. But at the same time, it's vandalism. So the meaning of life is love. That could definitely be debated. Almost anything can be debated. But people have give their lives different meaning. For some people, maybe it really is love, like that show, How I Met Your Mother. It's all about love, finding the love of your life. Or for some, it might be success. It might be gratitude. It might be giving back to the community. It might be all about raising your children. It might all about be, pursuing research or pursuing a goal, wanting to further technology or better education or theories, or just be a good father or mother. Though some of those could definitely be tied to love or happiness, but the meaning of life is diverse. It's not love all the time. Some, like I said before, some it might just be success. They just want to be successful. They just want to reach higher heights, and maybe that's what gives them happiness and love, and again, that's where it ties in. Another big part of life, which I think is part of everybody's lives, doesn't matter what area you're in, doesn't matter who you are, it's accomplishment. We all want to accomplish something. Some accomplishments might be bigger than others. What am I trying to say about accomplishments? What am I trying to get at? I'm trying to get out that accomplishments, like many things, are at different levels. But at the same time, we all value different things depending on who we are. Some of us might value a degree more than others, or a high school graduation more than others, or winning some type of competition more than others. Others might see it as completely worthless, but in your life, it might have tremendous value. It's like that old phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Or maybe I should be saying one person's trash is another person's treasure. Sometimes you can get really caught up in accomplishments, in, you know, getting that grade that you want, or getting that promotion, or winning that competition, and working really hard to achieve that, to get there. Or maybe it's just a personal goal, just wanting to lose some weight. Even that's an accomplishment. That's definitely an accomplishment. Or it could be something really simple, like getting out of the house today, or going to that place I've always wanted to go but just never made the time for it, or just never did, or going to see that old friend of yours that you haven't seen in a long time. I consider even those can be accomplishments, because it depends on the person. The point is that we all consider different things to be accomplishments, and there are some things that other people see as accomplishments that we don't see as valuable at all. Now let's talk about one of my accomplishments that might seem totally invaluable to some of you. Even I think of it sometimes that way. I like to play video games in my spare time. I consider myself a gamer, though not as extreme as maybe others are, where I enter competitions and win large amounts of money, things like that. No. I don't do that. We all have, you know, hobbies, or I like to say things that we do in our free time, you know, read, garden, craft, cook, bake, whatever it is. Mine is gaming. When you play games, for those who aren't very savvy about video games, you typically get awards when you play a game. I like to play story type games. When you play those games, when you reach a certain part of the story, you get an award of some sort. And those are easy to get, because you just have to reach that point in the story and you just get the award automatically. And games have different levels to them. There's easy, medium, or normal, hard, very hard, you know, it varies. And if you, usually throughout the game, you can also change the difficulty. Sometimes you don't have to play the whole game as hard, you can change it to easy. And that could be like a strategic way to get past certain checkpoints in a game. Say if you encounter a boss, and usually you're playing on hard, but this boss is just really difficult to surpass, so you just change it to easy for the one boss, and then for the next one, you know, you level up a lot, or you get a bunch of good equipment, or whatever it is in the game, so that way you're, you know, you don't have to go to the easy mode again, because you feel bad about going easy, because you want to defeat it on hard. And sometimes even that could be an award. If you beat a boss or an enemy on a high level, you get an award. Or if you fight an enemy and you get no damage at all, that can be an award. And some are very easy, like I said, like you just get it throughout the plot. And some are hard. They can be quite difficult to get. Maybe you've heard of a game called Portal. Portal and Portal 2, they're very difficult to play. They're almost maddening the way you, because they're all very, you're kind of put in a room and you have to get out of the room using portals and moving objects and trying to, you know, logically find your way out. And sometimes it's very maddening because you feel like you have it and you try it and it doesn't work, so you have to try something else. And when you finally get out, such a relief. And you just think, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. How could I not have gone in that? And there, I spent like many hours playing video games. Sometimes I have that horrible thought. What if I used that time that I spent on video games on something more productive, something that would help me more in the work I want to pursue, the job I want to go for, or just general kind of knowledge. I think there's a theory that if you spend what is it, 10,000 hours or 1,000 hours, you know, a certain amount of hours doing one thing, learning one thing, then you can become like an expert at it. And I guess I'm an expert in certain video games. But like in any field, there's always someone better than you. There are times where I play the game and I make like a cool move, like an avoided attack that usually you can't avoid, and I feel like so good about myself. But then there's other times where you just mess up. You know how sometimes you might be trying to do a task repeatedly? You mess up the first time, you try again, and you still mess up. And you just get more and more frustrated and frustrated. And sometimes you try to push through that frustration. Like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make it. I'm going to figure this out. But other times, you need to just take a break, come back to it, try again. Like, my brother introduced me to this app, this game on his phone. I forgot what it's called. It's like you're some sort of animal and you need to cross roads and cross lakes and go across some grass. And you have to get, you know, have to cross as many as you can. You know, every time you cross one, you get like a point. So my high score is 124, which I believe is still the record on his phone. And as I kept going, you know, there are times where I would just die immediately. Like, I would only make it, like, 5 spaces, and I would just, you know, frustrated, and then you would try again. And sometimes you kind of just rush through it. Like, if I just rush through it, I can just make it, or I'm going to take it real slow. But in this game, if you take it too slow, then you fall off the screen, and then you're screwed that way, too. So it can be it can just get really frustrating, these games. But you do it so you can accomplish something. Because if you can move past the frustration and get to that ultimate goal, you've accomplished something. But sometimes accomplishing something in frustration is frustrating too. You don't want to accomplish it that way. You don't want to achieve something that way. So I played a lot of video games over the years. And the way they get you with video games is all the awards. You know, there's always like a section where there's a list of awards that you can get. And sometimes they tell you how you can get it, sometimes they just give you the name. And you want to hit them all. You want to get them all. It's like Pokemon. You want to catch them all. You want to get them all. But you know, how much an accomplishment is it really if I'm able to get all 10 of the keys? If I'm able to find all of the lucky emblems, if I'm able to beat all the bosses with no damage, like, how helpful is that in reality? Some people are very carefree, I guess. They just want to have fun in their life, and video games can be part of that. That, you know, I'm having fun, I'm getting all these awards, I feel good about myself. Me, I can't help but think, is this how I should be spending my time? And yet, I spend my time that way anyway sometimes. I psych myself out a lot where I do something, but even if it's something that might be construed as productive, like reading a book, you know, a good thing, you're learning something from the book. But what if I'm reading the wrong book? What if, say, if it's a book on, let's say, chemistry. Let's go chemistry. Let's say it's a textbook on chemistry. I'm reading through the book, but then I might think, maybe this isn't the best book on chemistry. Like, maybe the library got it from, you know, it doesn't have the best copy. Maybe it doesn't have all the theories and information I want in this book. Or maybe there's another book that can explain it better. And if I'm reading this book and it's not the best one, then that's a waste of my time. I'm not mean. Productive. This isn't the best accomplishment I can make. That's why I think the word best is propagated in the marketing and in commercials and things like that a lot. Like, even on Amazon, they have the best seller. You want the best for yourself. You want the best book to read with all the information there. You want the best video game with the hardest difficulty and all that. But what determines if the book is the best or the game is the best or this show is the best? It depends. It always depends. Usually when you're asked a question, it's a yes or no answer. Or, you know, I agree with this theory or that theory, or I go this way or that way. You always have to pick a position or a stance. But in some cases, it really does just depend. It depends on who you are, what you're interested in, what you're looking for. A game isn't the best for everybody. One game isn't the best for everybody. I almost said anybody. A game isn't best for anybody. Oh my gosh, I'm a video game player and I'm saying video games aren't good for anyone. Video games have value, people. I know that they may be construed as a waste of time just playing on screens. Like sometimes social media is thought that way, just wasting time on a screen. But with video games, you know, you learn something. You're put through challenges and you have to find a way out through what materials and equipment you have. I guess then the debate is how realistic is that? Well, maybe it doesn't have to be realistic. Like whatever you do when you're given like a puzzle or a riddle in high school or whatever, they're not really realistic either. You're not likely going to be in any of those situations either, but it helps you to develop your mind. It helps you to think in different ways, just like books. And let's be truthful, video games are much more interactive, and it feels like, you know, it's all about you. It's focused on you. You know, you're the character. You're playing the character. Everything you do in the game is something you did yourself. Whereas when you're reading a book, and almost anybody can read, how much are you really doing by yourself? Everything you're reading is something that someone else came up with, and now you're just taking it in. You're memorizing it. To really accomplish something, you would have to come up with a new idea, new theory. And as far as society is advancing, and as much as I think we're going to come up with so many new theories and have new perspectives going forward, at the same time, those are going to be difficult to come by. Before I continue to ramble and go off track from accomplishments and the meaning of life, a huge question, and it's just about an hour-long show, let's play a song. Like always on CC, Convictions and Contradictions, even though I've given the show an acronym, I still continue to say the full length of the show. Why? I think it's because, you know, when you start a new position or, you know, you enter a new field, there are always acronyms. And sometimes you can't find the meaning behind the acronym. Like, you don't know what it actually stands for or again, what's the meaning behind it? So I guess that's why I always say it, but maybe I should stop. I'm rambling again. Okay, this first song, again, always instrumental music on the show, which is where I was trying to go, but then I moved to acronyms. But let's go back. I'm backpedaling. I'm going back. I'm rewinding. This first song is by the artist Flatbed, and from their album Drug Mom, which I've played on the show before. And let me just mention what the cover looks like. I've also said what the cover looks like before in a previous show. But it's a baby bottle with a pacifier and everything. And then next to it is a syringe. And this song is called Life is Wrong. Kind of ties into the...
Thank you. Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Bard on the Beach Shakespeare Festival's 30th season is running now until September 21st. It's housed in two modern theater tents and situated on the spectacular waterfront setting of Vancouver's Vanier Park. On the BMO main stage is Taming of the Shrew, a hilarious runaway hit inspired by Bard's 2007 Wild West production. This plays in repertory with the Elizabethan-era romantic comedy Shakespeare in Love. On the Howard Family stage, there are two new innovative productions, Shakespeare's All's Well That Ends Well, set in India in the 1940s, and Coriolanus, a no-holds-barred political tragedy filled with resonance for our time. For tickets and information, visit bardonthebeach.org.
We'll be right back.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nichu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled. Ironically, we are broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people, and the song we just heard was from the artist, or band, I suppose, Urban Surf Kings, from their album Astro Surf A-Go-Go. And it's just a funny word to say, A-Go-Go. And the track to the song is called Cosmonaut Apprentice Program. Quite a unique name, a lot of unique names on this album. There's also Run From the Bear, Street Cleaner, Thunder Robot, Hot Pig Bites, Surf Monkey, I think it's also Galactic Silver, I think that's what it says, but a lot, some funny names, some cool tunes, some cool music. So before the break, before I played Flatbed and Astro Surf A-Go-Go, it's just a funny name, I can't help but laugh, laughter is a good thing. Anyway, before the break, I was talking about the meaning of life because I saw this vandalism sign under a bridge that said the meaning of life is love. And then I was also talking about accomplishments, how accomplishments have different levels, from academic kinds, from winning scholarships to high in grades to winning awards, to maybe work-related to promotions, rises, salaries, things like that. Or maybe, you know, personal goals. You finally finished a project. You finally accomplished something. You finally, you know, did something. You achieved something small or big, whatever it is. And I talked about how some of the things that I consider accomplishments is awards that I win in video games. Though at the same time, I think that I probably shouldn't consider that an accomplishment, because you know how valuable is that really. But you know, if you value things on, depending on how you value things, it could be extremely valuable, which I wish that's how I thought all the time. I would have more self-confidence in myself, but I don't. I'm critical about myself, and there was a whole episode about my critical self and just how critical I can be. I think a big part of accomplishments is not just accomplishing something. It's not just about, you know, being able to do that and accomplishing it and reaching it and achieving it, attaining it, and other synonyms that also describe that. It's also about using that accomplishment to get other accomplishments, to go further. You know, you start in a club as a volunteer, but then you move up to, say, a student executive position. And then you become the vice president. And then you become a president. You get all these accomplishments, and you can go higher up. And also, accomplishments are great for a resume. A resume is practically just filled with accomplishments. You know, getting a certain job and fulfilling that job or filling that position, whether it be volunteer, intern, paid, whatever it is, their accomplishments. And that's, and you know, there's a whole section on a resume just for awards. And something I have never added on my resume, though it would make it much longer if I did, is all my video game awards. There's so many. I mean, I could categorize them. I could make it look real nice and pretty. You know, you start out with the game title, and then you start out with the award's name. And then you see how rare it is to get this award. I mean, the PlayStation or PSN or, you know, the company does is that it tells you how rare a certain trophy or award is. It tells you, like, okay, 90% of players get this. But then there's, like, awards that are, like, 0.1% get this award, and those are the ones you want to get because you want to be part of that. You want to be the, you know, the 1%, the 0.1% who gets it. you know, just like in society, you want to get to the 1%. You want to get money and wealth and be rich and all that. It's a way to get there without getting there on a smaller scale to the 1% in a different arena. But those accomplishments aren't allowed or socially acceptable on a resume. I mean, if you were like a national ranked gamer or player of some sort of game, if you were looking for a job in the gaming industry or in graphic design, animation, something like that, then I think then maybe it's okay to put that on your resume, that you like have all these awards, that you know you're like the number top ranked player in this certain game, like you're very high up there. It might be good to put there, but I'm not sure, because video game awards never count. I mean, you can put participation on a resume. You can, you know, under awards, you know, I got a ribbon for participating in this event or whatever it was, but you can't put down what you achieved in a video game. Come on, video games are hard. They can be extremely difficult. Just try and play Portal 2. It's incredibly difficult. I mean, there are app games that you can play on your phone, but then, you know, there are video games that you play on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, all of that. And you know, what do you want to show on your resume? You want to show that you're competent, that you're hardworking, that you have accomplished things, that you can persevere, that you can work with others, you're good at teamwork, you're good at written and oral communication. You know, there's all these different skills that, you know how to use Microsoft, you know how to use Apple products, Apple computers, you know, though you don't put this down, that you don't put that, you know, you can use Google. You say, I know how to use Gmail, Google Docs, Microsoft Word, you know, you put all of that down. You're trying to establish your computer literacy. So of course, you can do a real test for that. And video games, you know, there's teamwork in video games. You work with other people and you sort it out. Usually when you talk about teamwork on a resume, you know, you talk about some sort of project you did for work where you had to work with other people. Or you talk about a school project, a school assignment where you had to work with other people. But in those situations, you know, you're very sensitive towards each other. You usually don't know each other too well, especially if it's university level. You're just kind of being polite and working through it, sharing your opinions, but not try to overwhelm someone else. You're not this in the kind of the norm of school projects is that no one's the dictator of sorts. No one's like the leader. You work cooperatively and it's all, you know, niceties. It's all the niceties. But when it's like a video game or with your friends where you actually fight with each other at times, there's actually some real emotion here. That's where real teamwork comes out. That's where you really have to navigate those emotions and come together and work together and figure it out. I mean, how are people not putting that on your resume? I mean, you know, putting your horoscope on a resume, that's going too far. Like, I'm a Leo, I'm strong, or I don't know all the signs, you know, I'm a Scorpion, I'm a Gemini, I'm a Virgo, I don't know them, you know, with different signs, there's like different traits and attributes associated with it. Or, you know, if you did like a personality test, you know, the Simon Briggs personality test or whatever it's called. I feel like it's something Briggs personality test. Where it's like your type A personality, type B personality, and it gives you, sometimes it gives you like, okay, this a famous person has similar traits to you, or here are some things you excel at, here are some areas that you wouldn't do so well in, here are some words or skills or attributes that you have. I mean, you can't put that on a resume. I mean, where would you even put it? A highlight of skills? Would you just create a miscellaneous section? I mean, people aren't going to take that. They're going to take your personal experience, things that you can give dates to, where you had a supervisor, things that are socially acceptable. And horoscopes, using a horoscope to prove that you're hardworking or you're good at teamwork is just not the way to go about it. But video game accomplishments, I mean, that could be a new trend in resumes. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Here's the butt. No, here's the kicker. Even if it were socially acceptable to put video game awards and accomplishments and standings on there. I mean, if you're like an athlete and you do well in a competition, you're nationally ranked, you can put that on a resume. That shows your hard work. That shows your dedication. It shows that, you work out, you try for the position, you need to go events, you go to the meets, you're able to be on time, you're able to manage your time, have time management skills, you're able to follow directions, you're able to do a task routinely. I mean, that's great on a resume. So why don't video game accomplishments count? I mean, it's the same thing. Like, when you play a game, you have to be on time for the game. Sometimes there's, a special events where you have to log on a certain time. You have to do time management. You have to complete this task and get to this task and make sure you do it on time so you can get to the end and you can win or whatever it is. Why doesn't that count? Why isn't that socially acceptable? I don't know. Maybe if we write a song about it, though I probably shouldn't write it because I'm not very good at it. But I think that I just rhymed. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. Yeah, I think this is the most hyped up I've ever gotten about a show. I'm just passionate about video games. It's a hobby of mine. I do it a lot, so I'm defensive about it, I suppose. So if we were to have a conversation about it, I'm sure I would be rational. I would take your side. No, not take your side. I would be open-minded about it. I'd have an open mind. I would accept your side. We would have a nice civil argument. So sometimes, don't you want to see a nice heated debate? Nice heated argument. Maybe feelings get hurt, but you don't show that. So that way the audience doesn't feel bad about it. Anyway, the point is that I think video game accomplishments, awards, not like, the ones where you just get if you get to a certain part of the story, I think that should be acceptable to put on a resume. And maybe someone has. Maybe someone has put that down on their resume. I mean, some of the accomplishments that we have in life aren't so big. It's not like, we raised a lot of money for a fundraiser or we got an award that really anybody gets. It's more sometimes our accomplishments or what we want to achieve are very simple. Like I said before, sometimes it's just getting out of the house. Sometimes it's just getting out of bed. Sometimes it's just reading a book that's been sitting on your side table for forever. Sometimes it's trying to make that dish that you haven't tried for a long time, or you did but you messed it up. Or maybe it's just to go talk to that friend you haven't talked to a long time, or going to go ask someone out who you didn't have the courage to ask out before. Now that's a rare example, a dating example. Because, you see, I've never dated before. So, usually my examples are somehow related to my life, like everybody. And I've just never dated someone. So that was a rare one to come out of me. Wonder what that means. A Freudian slip? Possibly. As much fun as it would be to put video game accomplishments on a resume, I just don't see it happening anytime soon. As fast as technology is progressing, as much as, video game champions or video game competitions are becoming more prominent, it's not gonna happen anytime soon. And if it does exist, or if it ever exists, it's going to be reserved for the top 1%. the percent that does the best at video games, who are nationally ranked, who go to those competitions and get into like the top three, top five, or even win. It's going to be reserved for those. It's just like any other kind of, it's like any other competition. Like if you were at a spelling bee, if you were only in like the preliminaries, you don't put that on your resume. If you get to the federal level, to the national level, then you put it on there. You've gotten pretty far. You've done pretty well. It's like, I don't know if it's like a requirement, but if you say go to college and you start a degree, but you don't finish it, you only do like a year of it. And you don't do, maybe you drop out because, or you leave the program because you didn't do too well. Like, do you put that on a resume? Not really. If you can, you'll probably skip over it and just, and you probably, you know, you'll paint it a different way. You'll describe it in a different way so it doesn't come off like, you know, you did bad. It's just, I wanted to try it. I wasn't interested, so, you know, I went and did this, I did a degree in something else, or I did a program in something else. The show has taken a turn. Not for the worst, but it's taken a turn. It's taken a detour. The show was originally going to be about accomplishments, which it still is. It's just, you know, it's more specialized. It's more specific to video game accomplishments. And hey, I did an overall literature review. I talked about different things. I brought them together. It's just like any essay, any sort of paper. You know, you start out big and broad and you kind of give the background information. You know, what is the meaning of life, possibly accomplishments, and you move into that area. But then you get even more specific. Like a famous theorist once said, I believe it was Durkheim, that we as a society are specialized. We're interdependent because we are specialized. And I believe I've mentioned this on the show before. I don't mean to be repetitive, but it all comes together. It all connects. And I'm a woman, I'm a female, and our brains are, they connect ideas more than male brains. And I remember that fact from some time ago. You know how you just remember just facts? Like, you don't even try to memorize the fact. But somehow it just sticks in your head. Like I said at the beginning of the show, how I know someone who travels a lot and how they told me that the Great Wall of China was actually put together with rice. Like, I never really tried to memorize that. It was just interesting. It just stuck in my mind. But, like, someone once told me, in high school, it was a person who came to assembly to talk about scholarships. They told me that an easy way to remember things is if you exaggerate it. If it's like, you know, very exaggerated, funny, you know, out there, not normal. And, you know, it's just kind of this weird to think that the Great Wall of China is made of food. So it just kind of sticks in your head. All weird little facts just kind of stick with you. And again, we've taken another detour. We've stopped at a museum to learn a little bit about facts and about ourselves. But it's okay, because we're going to go back onto the detour, and now we're going to go onto the main road, which is this next song, which is by The Romance of Improvisation in Canada. And the album is called The Genius of Eldon Rathburn, who was a Canadian composer who lived from 1916 to 2008, wrote more than 250 film scores, most of them during his 30-year career as a staff composer for the National Film Board of Canada. Wow, that's quite a good thing to put on a resume, don't you think? And this song is called simply Police. And that's it for me, everybody. Good morning. It's almost 9 a.m. now. And next up at 9:30 is Comedy Zeitgeist. I hope you all enjoy your day. And again, good morning to everybody. Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, the only show to ever be subtitled, ironically. Broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people from the UBC Vancouver campus. And good morning to everybody. It's around 8 a.m. right now. I sound very much like the loudspeaker in a ferry or an airport or something. But good morning to everybody. I'm starting out with some enthusiasm today, which isn't usually the case because I am just not a morning person. Like maybe some of you, I have a Fitbit and it, you know, it records my sleep. It tells me how many steps I've taken, it records period cycles, how much water you drink, food, things like that. I don't utilize all of it because I find it quite annoying to log.
Hello and welcome in, everybody, to our broadcast. This is Jacob Ayer, and alongside me are Jake McGrail, Corey Branson, and Nico Roselli today of CITR Sports. No Liz, unfortunately. She has some class, but we're working those out. And we are broadcasting still from UBC's Point Grey campus.